Okay, let me see what the question is. Do you guys know anything about the Da Vinci Code? I heard people talk about it being true, but I know it to not be true. I've heard stories of Mary Magdalene, the wife of Jesus, not the wife of Jesus, stories that she was the wife. But I know it's false because he's God. All right. Amen. I've heard of Mary Magdalene having a daughter, and her daughter, her and her daughter were killed. You know, when I was growing up, they had this same kind of a detraction from the truth called the Passover plot. And, you know, in 10, 15 years, they'll have a different one, or maybe in next year, who knows. Satan is active trying to derail the truth and keep as many people as possible from hearing the gospel that'll lead them to heaven. He wants company down there. So, yeah, don't give any credence to these other books that say they're on the same basis as the Bible. They're not. When they change the Word of God, make it sound similar, but it's not the same, it's not the Word of God anymore. I've heard of some stuff that was talking about it was true facts, but I don't believe how others believe, where they believe Mary is really God and Jesus they placed as a hoax. Yeah, well, of course, the whole Roman Empire church thinks that Mary is, I mean, they pray to Mary, I've seen a church that actually has this over their door to go in. It says, to Jesus through Mary. Like she was some kind of mediator. The Bible does not say she was a mediator. The Bible says she needed a Savior. And she called Jesus her Savior. So, it's all built on superstition. And, you know, stay away from fables. I guess, you know, I think I've heard that you, your family is Roman Catholic. I think I've heard you say that. And so you can't do what I just said. You can't stay away from it. It's around you all the time, probably. You need faith, and faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. So that's the best thing I can tell you, is spend time alone in the Scripture. You know, if you can spend 10 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever, a day, it'll strengthen you. It'll bring you to a standing. Well, you have a standing if you're a believer. If you believe that Christ died for your sins, you have a standing. But to make you stand, let me pull up the salvation verses in 1 Corinthians 15. And the first four verses in the chapter. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received. They made it their own, these Corinthian people did. You have received wherein you stand. Staying in the Scriptures helps you to stand, to make a stand, not be wavering with every wind of doctrine. And it goes on to say in verse 2 that this gospel which they received, by which also you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, that's the important thing. What Paul preached, it's different than what Peter preached. It's different than what Jesus preached to Israel, because Israel had a different gospel. That's not a heresy either. You'll hear preachers say that there's only one gospel in the Bible, but that doesn't make it true. You know, look in the Bible. The Bible never says there's only one gospel in the Bible. There's only one gospel today that saves people today, but it's different than the one Jesus taught his disciples to go and preach throughout Israel and to Judea and to Samaria and finally to the uttermost parts of the world, preaching it to Israelites in the uttermost parts of the world. Well, he told them in Matthew 10:23, I think it was, that there, in that going, they won't get out of Israel before Christ comes back. So that going to all the world will be after Christ returns, which of course is at least 7 years after we've been caught up to be with the Lord in heaven. The body of Christ won't be here when Christ returns. We'll be in heaven with Paul and with those that were saved. Who would that be? Timothy, Titus, we know of. You know, relatives that you may know that believe, that had a testimony of believing that Christ died for their sins and was buried and rose again. Let's see, when you say believe in vain, does that refer to acting like you believe but your heart isn't right with the Lord and really doesn't believe? Is that what you mean by believing in vain? Believing in vain, well, it can mean several things, actually. There's a couple verses that the phrase is used in. Look at the form, but I think in that case it's these verses will help you see what in vain means. But I think the verse there in verse 2 is talking about something a little bit different. And if Christ be not risen, in other words, if you believe that Christ died for your sins and rose again, but he didn't really rise again for some reason, it says if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. And if you go down to verse 17, let me pull that up. Hi, Janice. Hi, Sansonoi. If Christ be not raised, in other words, if he didn't resurrect, your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. So if Christ didn't rise from the dead, he didn't save us. So let's go back to verse 2 then. Let me get that pulled up. 15:2. I'm not real handy with this poster. By which also you are saved. That's that gospel. Well, what's the gospel of what? What do you believe? It's in verses 3 and 4, but it's verses 1 and 2 here that tell you to believe it to be saved, to receive it to your own condition of being a sinner, needing a Savior. Receive this as the God's solution for it, God's answer for our need, that we are sinners and the wages of sin is death. Christ died for your sins, for my sins. So it says, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. If you believe instead of what Paul preached, that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. If you believe instead, you believe that you have to repent and be baptized like Peter preached in Acts 2:38, that's believing in vain. That doesn't work. That gospel was a gospel that was true when Peter preached it. It was true for Israel to believe, but they didn't believe it. And Israel stopped being, they became Lo Ammi. They stopped being God's way of working with men, with people. And the body of Christ today is the way. Christ saved and raised up Paul, giving him information for us today, the information how to be saved, how to please God, how to be edified. By the way, God is pleased with us because we're in Christ, not because of what we do or don't do. So let me see here. I'm not sure if I answered all your question. When you say believe in vain, does that refer to acting like you believe? Yeah, see, I fight that in my life. The tendency to think that if you do something, it's counting as like brownie points or something with God. That tendency from when I was... it would have been before I was 8 years old, and when I was saved, that was inculcated into me. It's false. I mean, it's not. We don't gain favor with God by what we do or don't do. We gain favor with God by being in Christ. His Son is what He's well pleased with, and when you're in Christ, He sees you in Christ, and He sees you with the righteousness of God. So, and that's all part of the mystery. It's not, it wasn't exposed to people during the time when Jesus walked the earth. It was only made known to men when Christ revealed it to Paul and sent him out to preach it. That's why there was a lot of turbulence in the Acts period, because he went first to the Jews and the Greeks, believing Gentiles, because that sounds like us. That would be the Gentiles that wanted to come to God the only way they could. Salvation is of the Jews, John 4:22, they would come to the synagogues, they would bring their tithes, they would... You know, they feared God. That's how they came to God, in acceptance of Israel being God's means of saving people. And they had, like Israel, they had to endure to the end to in the end be saved. That's not so for us. Like we just read in the salvation verse there, you are saved, it says in verse 2. Talking about the gospel again. Moreover, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved. It's a present tense thing. We don't have to wait to be saved. You believe that Christ did it all for you, and that you couldn't have done any of it yourself, and you can't add to it. It's His righteousness and His death on the cross for your sins, for my sins. It's a wonderful thing. Well, what is that? What is the thing that we're to believe? It's the next two verses. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, and that goes beyond just believing. That's talking about making it your own, receiving it into your need. Receptivity, well, that's repeating myself, but which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins. That's the substitutionary atonement right there. He didn't die for any sins of His own. He didn't have any sins. And He didn't do this ineffectively. He did it sufficiently. He died for our sins, saving us. If we believe. So, if we receive it to ourselves. So those first two verses show that we need to receive what He did for us, for it to apply to us. And then the fourth verse in 1 Corinthians 15, and that He was buried, that's the second thing, and rose again the third day. So He died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And you'll hear people add to that, rose again the third day for our justification. Which is true, but, I mean, it's true that He did that, but that's not part of what Paul recites here as the gospel. You don't have to even know about that, that it was for our justification. That's not part of the gospel. The gospel is that Christ, believing that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. So, hope that helps.